Ready, down, hunt, 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 hunt.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
The Carbless Talk and Text Line, 800-990-3776, is a medley of reaction to me getting fished by the fake Wisconsin DOT. Fished? No. Hooked. Scammed.
Bamboozled. Hoodwinked.
All of those things. Please let Jen know I received a message from the Mequon police that they needed me to pay a parking ticket for her so she could just send me her credit card information going forward. That from Jason in the 801. Oh.
Good on Jason. I mean, Jason, just a good guy.
Not our Jason, Jason Wilde, who joins us now. And Jason, I'm embarrassed to admit, I did get scammed yesterday by that fishing expedition. Have you seen these text messages going around?
Well, first of all, as a Nigerian prince, I don't get those text messages.
You just send them.
Well, he doesn't send it. He has people because he's the prince. He's already got the money. He's got people who sends it out.
Exactly. I'm like Eddie Murphy in Coming to America. No, I have gotten them, yes. Look, I'm not going to judge you. Am I surprised that a person of your intellect fell for the banana tailpipe? I am. But hey, we all make those types of mistakes from time to time. And I'll tell you this, I am, you know, we do as a company, we do all these videos and quizzes and everything in an effort to prevent this kind of thing happening from a company standpoint. And I know that the State Journal, when they had all the problems they had, it was because of a ransomware attack where clearly somebody had made the mistake of clicking on something they shouldn't. So I don't think you should feel bad at all. You know, like Romeo Dobbs, learn your lesson and then just put your head down and get back to work.
Jason, I know it's mini camp, no pads, but how has Jacob Monk looked at center? Does he look the part?
I'll be honest. It would be great if Frankie Bag of Donuts would come up and stand next to me at practice so I could give you a better assessment of that. Like he reminds me from a stature standpoint of Scott Wells, who was like, and I mean this in the nicest possible way because I'm built this way too, except not nearly as muscular as Matt LaFleur is happy to point out in press conferences. Short and squatty, right? Like he doesn't look like Josh Myers. He doesn't look like Mike Flanagan. You know, even Frankie was obviously taller in addition to being stockier. So, you know, I don't know without pads and without doing one-on-ones and all those other things, I don't have a good feel for what he might be capable of if for some reason it went all the way to the point of him having to start games for them this season. But I just keep thinking about the fact that, you know, they lost after four snaps, they lost Elgton Jenkins. Then later in the game, they lose Josh Myers toward the end of the game. They tried two different guys at guard in relief of Elgton Jenkins, and both of them were terrible. And yet Jacob Monk, who was active for the game, never played an offensive snap. Like they never decided to say, hey, let's go to the rookie instead. I mean, even when Myers went out, then they moved Sean Ryan over to center, and then they brought one of the other, I think it was Glover, who came back in then. So, I'm curious where he will stand once we get to training camp, but he can't help but be better off for getting this work while Elgton stays away.
Jason, it seemed like everybody was just revealing their injuries this week at OTAs. We find out that Kenny Clark had foot surgery, LVN dealing with a hand issue throughout the season last year. I don't know where I'm supposed to land on this because, yes, Kenny Clark landed on, you know, he was on the injury report a couple of times with the toe injury, and obviously his production was down, and I'm sure the injury factored into that. But if you're on the field, I'm supposed to have a certain level of expectation for you, and if this injury is still allowing you to practice, how much should I read into potential bounce backs or, for Lucas Van Ness, even some sort of step forward because of the injuries that they had last year?
Yeah, it's an outstanding question. And every time as I stood there, and look, Lucas Van Ness had actually told us about the thumb thing when he talked before the bus left in April for the tailgate tour. And I knew he had left a game dealing with the thumb and came back. I knew that he was playing with like a small cast throughout the first half of the season on that hand. So I knew the injury was there, but both as he talked and as Kenny talked, I heard Chewy's voice. And not like a Noah, you must build an ark type God voice, but like a, what Chewy said about Zach Tom the other day, right? Like it's just, and look, I'm not dragging Jordan Love on this at all, because I do believe his injuries affected his performance. I would never, ever dismiss that. To what degree, I don't know. But it is interesting that these guys, we didn't even know that they had issues. Like, we knew Kenny Clark had a toe injury, but I talked to Kenny Clark every week last season. And not once did he say anything about how it was impacting him. And Lucas Van Ness, you know, it wasn't until the off season, and you know, maybe this is an oversight by me, but I didn't realize that he was exclusively rushing from the right side. I didn't even realize that. And a thumb injury certainly would be a factor with how effectively you can use your hands. So again, if those guys are healthy and play at a meaningfully higher level because they are healthy compared to what they provided last season, that should give, you know, all those guys we're talking about, Rashawn Gary specifically, we're talking about how they're all hanging out during OTAs at Kenny's house and watching NBA basketball and watching film and ordering in wings and pizza, and sounds like a lot of fun. But that's great, and camaraderie is great. I think it's extremely important. Spending that extra time together and going through practice video and everything else together, I love it. But what's really going to make a difference is if these injuries were problematic enough to cause those guys to, I mean, Kenny Clark had his worst season since he was a rookie.
But that's where I'm at, Jason, is, okay, so where's that line? Because, okay, you guys played through those injuries. Oh, but you played through injuries, so we're supposed to give you a pass, but you have Jair Alexander. Yeah. Okay, so you guys didn't play good enough, and maybe somebody else could have done better if you weren't in there, but you decided to try to play through it. And on the other side of this, and I think it's the extreme other side, but you have Jair Alexander, who's been vilified for saying, hey, I'm not 100%. I don't want to be out there unless I can be effective. And he's been turned into a villain for that. But if he's out there and he's ineffective, like, I'm just trying to figure out where this line exists. And I'm sure players are too, of, okay, how effective is it that I'm out here and can someone else do better?
There is no line, Gabe.
Okay.
There is no line.
But like, you know
Jason,
what I'm saying, Chu?
You know this, Jason. There's a difference between hurt and injured. Injured, you can't play. Hurt, everybody plays.
But then I'm supposed to still hold you to a level of expectation of your level of play, correct?
Sure.
Okay. So it's not. I'm glad that Kenny Clark got this cleaned up. I'm glad that Lucas Van Ness is healthier. But I don't know if that changes my outlook on how good this defensive line can be in 2025.
Well, first of all, I'm just trying to recover from you using vilified and villain in the same sentence. Secondly, look, you guys are both 1,000% right. Like, I couldn't agree with you more. And bringing the Jair piece into it is even more interesting because you're right. You know, maybe he was vilified for not playing through injury, and now here we sit with two guys who played through injury. And basically, and I'm not saying they were doing this on purpose, but suddenly now we have either an excuse or an explanation for how they performed, right? And you're, even if you're not giving them a pass per se, you are looking at their season through a different lens. So you couldn't be more right. And it does feel double standardy. It does. And so, you know, I've always been taught that if you're on the field, whether you're playing through an injury or playing hurt or not, you're going to be judged on how you perform. But it does feel as if when not us talking about players, them talking about players, there is a sliding scale on how much grace you receive because you played through injury.
Good stuff, guys. And I think we'll continue that conversation a little bit later in the show. I want to know what your thoughts were on Keyshawn talking about a couple of things. One, sort of changing his tune on being a returner for the Green Bay Packers. And two, based on what he said, does it sound like he thinks Jair will be back in the green and gold this fall?
Well, first of all, I would argue that he didn't change his tune. He had his tune changed.
Oh, that's an excellent nuance. That is excellent nuance, Jason.
It was clear that neither LaFleur nor Bisaccia particularly appreciated his proclamation. I do declare I am done playing return man to us at locker cleanout. As far as Jair, look, if you go back and listen to both Nixon and Xavier McKinney, I'm telling you, they're basically saying, look, we love him. We love playing with him. We want him back for us, but we have no idea if he's going to be back. And they both made comments about, you know, along the lines of he has to do what's right for him, which to me, when players say that, they might as well have been saying, the Packers want him to take a much larger pay cut than he's willing to take. And so this offer that's on the table, he doesn't like it. And unless something changes, I don't know if he will be my teammate again or not. That was how I interpreted both of their comments. Because, look, they authentically really like Jair. Like, those are two of his best friends on the team. And again, I know that there have been those in the Packers fan base who think the beat writers are trying to run Jair out of town. I mean, I'll tell you this, like, none of us feel that way. And the story has taken the twists and turns that it has. But let's not lose sight of the fact that two guys who really like Jair, Keyshawn Nixon, who proclaimed himself CB1 in that same conversation at his locker, you don't do that if you think the two-time second-team All-Pro is coming back for another season with you, right? And then when Josh Jacobs is doing his number one wide receiver tour at the Super Bowl, he also said we need another starting defensive back. He wasn't talking about safety. So he was presuming that, you know, Jair was going to be gone. So I don't think those guys, you know, while maybe the fan base with the reporting of late had gotten their hopes up about him returning, and maybe he still does, I'm not sure either one of those guys sounded like they were actually getting their hopes up that this was going to happen. I think they were thinking, well, it would be great if it did, but based on my conversations with Jair, I don't know. I think that's the vibe I got from both of them.
Jason, I want you to power rank these four places when it comes to people watching. State Fair, Summerfest, DMV, or the airport. 1 through 4.
Oh, my gosh. Well, like, that's, come on. That's like asking me to rate Jordan, LeBron, Bill Russell, and Kobe or something. Like, they're all, like, they are in the hall, not just the Hall of Fame, but they are like first ballot people watching Hall of Fame locations, right? Like,
I mean, Mount Rushmore, some else might say,
list?
Jason, right? This is a Mount Rushmore.
Some might say, yeah, very good. Is there anything that's even, like, if those are the four, what's fifth? Because they're all
there's
outstanding
a gap.
Places. There's a huge gap.
Yeah. All right, one, Jason, I win State Fair. I don't think there's anything better than State Fair.
I would agree. Circle gets the square.
I would take
Summerfest second, although my Summerfest trips have been of late me going to do the State of the Packers with Strofe and Gabe, Paul and the girls walking around for those hours, and then we leave right away. So I've not done my fair share of people watching. I do enjoy the folks that when you are clearly talking on the air, they start a conversation with you, and a lot of times it's, do you know where Ecuador Manta is playing?
It's a deep cut,
so that,
Jason.
I'm a big fan of that. So, and then I would say the airport over the DMV. I don't know about you. When I have to go to the DMV, I'm watching the numbers and I'm looking at my phone. Like I'm not actually engaging in the people watching as much as maybe in the other three locations, because the airport is, I mean, let's not underrate the airport. Like not only that, but it's like there are actual conveyor belts taking people past you so you can watch them. Like it's the convenience level. Like it's like they're being delivered like George Jetson at Spacely Sprockets for you to judge them. It's amazing.
We have folks weighing in on the Carbless Talk and Text line this morning. 800-990-3776 is how you can get in with the show always. Josh in Heartland and Michael in the 262 both suggesting Walmart for number 5 on your list of people watching
Walmart,
places. How
solid.
Do you feel about that?
Yeah, it's probably, I mean, they do have that account, right? The people of Walmart or whatever it is. I'm more of a get in, get what I need, and get out guy when it comes to that place. I will actively engage in people watching in the airport at Summerfest and State Fair, though.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Good stuff, as always. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, I'll send you that link.
Yeah, but it's going to come from your addressee.
That's the way it's genius, because you're going to trust that Jason's not going to lead you astray.
Jason's like, how can I get her bank account information? Actually, I'd probably just give it to Jason. Not Gabe, though. Not Gabe. Yeah, we determined I don't trust Gabe as far as I can throw him. All right, more Jen, Gabe, and Chewy right after this. Stick around.
Guys, I'm telling you, if you're making plans to propose to that special someone in your life, you hear Chew and I talking about it all the time. It is the Jewelry Center. Of course, it's the only place to go. Not just because they have a great selection, and if no matter what kind of diamond you're looking for, lab-grown diamond, naturally mined diamonds, whatever you're in the market for, when it comes to an engagement ring, the Jewelry Center has it. But the thing that separates the Jewelry Center to me is the helpful team that they put together. They helped me over 3 years ago at this point when I got the engagement ring for my wife. But they can help you as well. Maybe you have an idea. If you don't have an idea, check out the Pinterest page. Bring that in, and that helpful team always going to point you in the right direction. Check out the inventory. Any one of their three locations, Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington. Shop online at shoptjc.com. And when you go to the Jewelry Center, make sure you tell them that Gabe and Chew sent you.